be with my ear.
And we have, well, I think you said next to me.
I know.
Senate Bill 437 Alpha, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Senate Bill 437 revises a number of laws relating to the administration of the Oregon University System. These statutes regulate the purchase and sale of property and information technology. Under current law, the Oregon University System must, in many cases, obtain approval from the Department of Administrative Services when items and properties are purchased and sold. Senate Bill 437 will grant the Oregon University System and its campuses the ability to conclude these transactions directly. This change covers information technology as well. Oversight responsibilities are transferred from DAS to the State Board of Higher Education. These changes are intended to allow OUS to operate more efficiently and to save money. The Education Subcommittee reviewed the impact of these changes and of a provision in the bill to allow exemptions from competitive bidding where appropriate. The Subcommittee feels confident the proposed administrative changes will be helpful and that public funds will be protected. The Department of Administrative Services also has no objections to the bill. Senate Bill 437 also establishes timelines for when the Office of Degree Authorization reviews new public degree programs, relaxes the criteria for approving these programs, and allows the Office of Degree Authorization to charge fees for service. The bill also directs the Oregon Student Assistance Commission to report on the impact of restricting opportunity grant amounts to the levels awarded to OUS students and allows OUS to maintain the confidentiality of donor information. OUS and DAS are required to report to the legislature in 4 years on the effect of all of the bill's provisions. Your Education Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 437A be amended by the A22 amendments and reported out do pass as amended.
I got 437B engrossed, and that's correct, right? Okay. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Would it be possible for you to share with the committee the kinds of circumstances, with this panel, the kinds of circumstances where exemptions from competitive bidding would be allowed and at what level the committee had discussion about that?
The committee discussed that in detail for quite a lot of time, Representative Johnson, because we were quite uncomfortable with letting that go forward without some kind of parameters around it. And the information that we got in the public testimony when the system came and talked to us was that there were some instances, and the example that they gave us was if they were in a situation where they were in the midst of some kind of research experiment and a piece of electronic equipment went out that would have made the experiment fail, that they wanted the ability on that basis to go out and be able to purchase equipment and some other very finite things like that. One of the things that we made clear was that in the report that will come back to the legislature in 4 years, that we particularly wanted this issue to be addressed in that report so that we would be made aware of any issues that arose from that change. Thank you.
Okay, Senator Gordley.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I didn't hear it in the report that the good chair gave, but I also wanted to be on record and be very clear that the committee also talked about a number of questions that will need to be addressed in the required report to the 2007 Legislative Assembly. And one of those questions is to include an analysis of the impact of the exemptions from competitive bidding requirements on purchasing from women-owned businesses and from minority-owned businesses. So again, I'd like that point to be on the record and to have that understood, that that is also a part of the reporting requirements that we would be expecting.
Thank you, Senator Gordley. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
Yes, I'm still a little confused. Do we know what when appropriate means?
I would defer to staff.
staff is inappropriate. What do you think?
Senator and members, the term inappropriate is not defined in Senate Bill 437. Actually, in fact, the State Board of Higher Education has already, by rule, identified appropriate situations for exemptions from competitive bidding. Those exemptions are fairly narrow. They faced a situation where they believed that they already had this authority to allow for these exemptions. They had a lawsuit over that issue, which they did prevail in. And this provision of Senate Bill 437 is actually just an attempt to clarify what the courts have found, that the board does have the authority to grant these appropriate exemptions from competitive bidding. That, I know, is not a specific delineation of where the board has found exemptions from competitive bidding to be appropriate or not. But I think, as Representative Morgan was mentioning in her discussion, I think she gave a very good explanation of some of the situations where exemptions from competitive bidding is allowed. In other situations that we heard discussion of, there are certain cases, some of the federal contracts that Ed enters into. In those particular contracts, sources are identified for particular items. And the system had established an exemption process so that the institutions did not need to go through a competitive process to purchase items where, under a contract where they're receiving funds from the federal government, it's already identified what the purchases allowed under that contract are. There are other situations in emergency cases where there might be a situation where there's a threat to safety or health because of a problem with a building or a sewer that breaks or something like that, where they would have some exemptions.
So we think that the language, when appropriate, would relate back to the rules that OUS is already. Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Senator or Representative Johnson?
Thank you. One other portion of the bill that I would like the carrier to help elucidate those of us that weren't privy to the committee discussion is about the ability to keep confidential donor intent or details of donor contributions to institutions. While I intellectually understand the desire to have the donor's desire to sometimes be shielded from public scrutiny, I just wonder how thoroughly that was discussed, whether or not it's in the public's good interest to have large donations to our public institutions shielded from any public scrutiny.
Again, that was an issue that was discussed at length during the committee, and if I could, I would defer again to Mr. Bender to recap that discussion.
Thank you, Representative. The committee did discuss that to some extent. The exemption that higher ed would be granted under this bill, if you approve it, would be identical to the provisions that OHSU has regarding donor confidentiality. The situation as it stands under existing law is that, to the extent that donors work with university foundations in terms of arranging for a donation, those foundations are already able to maintain confidentiality of communications. Under existing law, however, when the communications are with the university president, say, or the director of development at the university, those are where the communications are, under current law, subject to disclosure. The universities have requested that those communications as well be exempted from disclosure, the ones that are with the actual university itself as opposed to through the foundation.
Thank you.
Any other questions, discussion, 437?
Yes. Okay.
I'm sorry, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. For the carrier, actually, was there any discussion? There's one item here, listen, I think I found the controlling language, regarding the sale of obsolete property. and not having to go through Department of Administrative Services review. And my understanding from your presentation is the Department of Administrative Services is fine with the bill. But in terms of just the routine sale of obsolete property, was it the university system's intent to still use the system at DAS for the disposal of that property, or to I'm just talking about routine property, or to create their own system? Because the system at DAS seems to be very efficient.
We actually did discuss that very point, and again, I will defer to staff to recap the discussion.
With regards to the disposition of property, the universities find in many cases that the existing provisions result in them having a smaller return from the sale of the property than they believe they could get under these provisions, because whereas they may, since generally they're located outside the Salem area, under the existing law to use the DAS system, they typically have to transfer the property to Salem for disposition by DAS at that point, as opposed to just trying to dispose of it locally in the area or with other persons with which they establish relationships. That's really the extent of my understanding.
So one brief follow-up.
If I might just interject also, it's my recollection that this was another one of the issues that we asked be specifically addressed in the report when it comes back to us.
Mr. Chairman, my concern is I would not want this to lead to the creation of several positions at the institution dedicated to the disposal of obsolete property when we have a very efficient operation being operated by the Department of Administrative Services. If they can do that without creating those additional positions, then that's fine.
Senator Winter.
Just a follow-up. In part of the discussion, did you have, in looking at the system, whether or not, rather than transporting the equipment to Salem, I know that the Surplus Property Division uses eBay a lot. In fact, I understand that their sales have gone up considerably since using that system, of whether or not you could take a picture of and put the equipment on eBay without them having to transport it to Salem.
Senator Messerly.
If I might, Mr. Vice Chair, I'd like to clarify. I think I was the one that raised the issue in our committee. And it was my understanding that it was more of an issue of how they declare equipment or facilities surplus more than how they dispose of them, and that they probably would continue to use the eBay process as they dispose of this equipment. But it was the process that DAS has to get the authority to move it into surplus. Mm. Am I on the right track here, Steve? At least that was my understanding of the
What the bill would allow the institutions of higher ed to dispose of obsolete property without essentially getting DAS's approval and DAS into that process. So it would be an authority that would take DAS out of having to classify the property as obsolete and start that process as well.
So you're responsible for all these questions.
Sorry.
What else? Any other questions, comments, discussion on the bill?
Mr. Can I just ask another question? Is there a provision? Is there a provision that requires them to come back and to give us a reporting on how successful or unsuccessful that they have been, and whether or not the issue that they raise is valid? I guess my concern is that I would want to be certain that they are realizing an increase in dollars as a result of having the ability to do their own obsolescence and their own sale.
Yes, there is a provision that requires them to report back to the legislature in 2007 on exactly those issues, as well as some of the specific issues that Senator Gordley referred to.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
One more. A question for staff, please, Mr. Vice Chair. The provision that eliminates the provision to remove interest earnings on tuition and fee balances from the general fund, What is the dollar amount associated with that provision in this bill?
I believe it would have been a loss of approximately $4 million per biennium.
To the general fund.
Correct. That was in the version that the Ways and Means Subcommittee received. They removed that provision, so the $4 million stays with the general fund.
Okay. Thank you.
You're not going to get the chair anymore.
Well, we discovered it was Messerly's fault that they have all these questions. Well, what else, Senator Winters? Yeah. Representative Johnson? What other questions do you have?
I'm all done, sir.
Good questions.
Want to make sure we're getting top dollar?
I understand.
Well, we did have some comments in the committee when we found out that the system was considering the use of eBay, that people that were looking at for goodbyes on chairs may want to log on.
Oh,
I don't think we'll be as good.
All right.
Bring that up.
Any objections to the bill? Hearing none, so ordered. SB 800, Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Oregon faces a nursing shortage. Senate Bill 800 will help address this problem by coordinating the distribution of grant funds to nursing education programs throughout the state. The bill establishes the Oregon Nursing Shortage Coalition Committee and changes this committee and charges this committee with distributing funds to nursing programs to best increase the state's capacity to educate additional nurses. The committee will have members from all four major regions of the state and members representing nurse executives, the Oregon Nurses Association, community colleges, OHSU, and independent colleges. OHSU will staff the committee, and the administrative costs of the program will be financed out of the funds received from grants and donations. Because of the state's current budget situation, the bill does not include a general fund appropriation. The grant program will be financed from federal grants, donations, and by other public and private monies. The state's budget shortfall makes it the more important to assist the state's nursing programs in coordinating and allocating funds that are available from these other sources. Senate Bill 800 will assist in that effort and has the support of nurses, hospitals, and nurse educators. The state will retain the option of adding general fund to the program in the future if funds become available. Your Education Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 800A be amended by the -A3 amendments and reported out, do pass as amended.
Senate Bill 800. We have nothing from Representative Johnson.
You want me to, it's a very, very good bill. Did you receive the report from the Employment Department just in your mail recently?
Yeah.
You will have noticed that where you look across the state of where there is the need for personnel, it's from all of our communities, it's in the healthcare field and nursing. And I want to put that on record because I think this is a good deal, and there's some others that we have in this session that are also to begin to address the issue of shortage in our healthcare field. It's one that I think deserves an aye vote, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. The bill came before the Education Subcommittee, and I just would like to commend the stakeholders in working with us to work out a couple of issues with the bill that needed to be taken care of. And I think that this is another example of people working together in a real positive way to come to a compromise that made a lot of sense. And I, too, concur with Senator Winters. This is a good bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
Move to previous question.
Do we have any objections to Senate Bill 800? Very none. So ordered. Ken, could you give us a quick update on Rick? Everybody has same info.
I want to know how come 7 mentioned, but
Mr. Chair, we haven't heard anything more today about Rick, but we have a person going up there to check out the situation.
Okay.
So we'll let you know later.
All right.
What are we talking about? I can't hear.
Yeah.
Can't hear a thing.
Mr. Olson.
Rick Olson.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nothing current. We'll get to you when we hear something new. Do we have any? When's the next one of these scheduled? Do we have it yet?
Mr. Chair, we might have a meeting tomorrow at the same time at 2 o'clock to deal with appropriation bond debt service bill that's going to be worked in the general government subcommittee tomorrow morning and possibly one grant application.
Okay. All right. All right. That we are adjourned. Thank you.